We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
So here we are again. This is the Thought Police, Matt Kelly, Mike Graham. A week to go.
1 week.
We'll have a new government.
I know. It's amazing. It's crept up, hasn't it?
It sort of has. I'm quite relieved, actually, because now that there's only, you know, 7 days left, if you like, you can sort of see this end in sight. I told you I did that thing the other week. Is this the angriest election of all time?
Yeah.
With UK and a change in Europe. And the end result was not really, because people have had this kind of idea that it's all going to end. But the trouble is, the closer we get to it now, people are starting to say things like, well, it's bound to be another hung parliament.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'll do. Seriously. I mean, if it's another hung parliament,
I'll sell a few more copies of the New European.
You'll have to launch it as a daily, won't you?
That's a good idea.
I mean, you know, instead of doing it once a week, do it once a day.
They do that in Scotland with The National, which was a paper that similarly kind of launched for people who wanted to get out.
But
they do it every day.
I mean, they'd be quicker off just handing that out to people when the circulation's so low.
Actually, I heard they were doing all right. So,
well, I think it's produced on a shoestring.
Yeah, everything is,
And
so is ours. But
I think, but I don't think the circulation is much above about 20-odd thousand.
Isn't it? No.
I don't think so. I
mean, we've had extraordinary success on our website,
done brilliant.
By the way.
Oh, have you?
Oh, our website's
what you mean, recently?
Like 2 million
wow.
people a month, which is...
That is good.
And it's going up and up and up. And we've got a tiny little team, but they're doing a brilliant job.
Yeah.
So there's clearly an appetite for it still.
Oh, I think there is.
The sense that it feels like it's...
Oh, well, I had some fun last weekend with some guys from... something, I can't remember what it was called, something like somebody started up a new Twitter account for rejoin the EU on the basis that if, you know, it all goes ahead, as soon as the day happens, you know, we're going to start the campaign
around,
to rejoin, right? And I went, that's going to go well. Yeah. He had 9 followers, you know? And the guy was like, we only launched it a few hours ago. I'm like, yeah, but still, a few hours ago, you only got 9. And then by the time he came back to me, they'd had another 2. Was, oh, you're up to 11 now. Yeah. You know.
Bad luck, though. Bad luck to join a rejoin site before.
It's bad luck, I think. It's probably jinxed itself. But, I mean, here we are. We haven't learned anything, really, over the past, 4 weeks, have we?
Nothing.
It's been a giveaway, massive giveaway election campaign.
None of which is going to happen.
None of which can happen. Yeah. And also, it's so far into the future, right? So that, for example, I mean, my favourite one, I have to say, was the trees. The Labour Party's plan to plant trees. I actually did an interview with John McDonnell, and I said to him, you know, you're joking, right? You're talking about planting this... It's talking about planting something like 11,000 trees a day for about 20 years. It's been, you know, people have worked out the mathematics on it. And you'll be putting in so many trees that you would actually need to cover the entire area of Wales, right, to have 2 billion trees planted. You know what he said to me? He said that they actually planted 300 million trees in one day in Ethiopia.
What?
Exactly. That was my reaction.
Bollocks.
It is bollocks. And it's one of those, if you fact check it, it turns out that they used something like 33 million volunteers who each planted something like 10 seedlings in some place that was part of an Ethiopian garden. You
is
know?
That what we're all going to be doing, is it?
Well, apparently so. So next time you're down at Waitrose, right, just pick up a couple of seedlings.
Yeah.
And
scatter some seeds around.
What
did you make of John McDonnell?
I actually, bizarrely, am his favourite person at Talk Radio. He comes and I've now done him 3 times.
Yeah.
I think he's quite a sinister figure, to be honest. And each time I try and make him not want to speak to me again, he keeps coming back.
Yeah.
You know, I brought the IRA up with him.
Yeah.
He's quite measured. He's much better than
but
Corbyn.
But he likes a good argument, doesn't he?
He does so quite that's like why it. Get on with he it. Does quite like yeah. it. And he's quite happy because I also let him talk as well. Yeah. I don't do the old Andrew Marr, let's just interrupt every single word that the guy's saying.
Yeah.
There's really any point in that.
Yeah.
And of course, I then get flack from some of my listeners who go, well, why are you not giving him a hard time?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm letting him talk and then I'm asking him about stuff, you know. I think his whole I'm really the nice guy John McDonnell is wearing a little bit thick, and I'm not buying it, right?
Yeah.
But I quite respect him actually as an individual.
Yeah, I like the way he handles himself.
Yes.
But I find him sinister as
He's definitely sinister.
I'm just looking forward to the day where which will be hopefully in 8 days' time, where we never have to say the words Jeremy Corbyn again.
Well, you seem quite confident about that, you see. You seem to think that if Labour doesn't win this election that he'll be out. And I can't see momentum allowing that to happen.
Oh, I think you cannot. There's no example of a Labour leader losing two elections.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Labour anymore. We're talking about this cult of momentum where they're in control.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say with any alacrity that basically Labour Party of people like Alistair Campbell, your mate, who is now more or less a Lib Dem campaigner, and others who have now left the party because of its anti-Semitism or because they can't get on with the far left that have taken it over. I mean, people like Miliband, Tom Watson. I mean, I'm no fan of Watson's, but he was a moderate. You know, Emily Thornberry, who I detest, has been very much in keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
They've obviously not wanted to let her anywhere.
Well, my theory on Emily Thornberry is precisely the opposite, is that she's keeping a deliberate low profile so she doesn't screw anything up and then she'll swoop in when Corbyn steps down.
Well, I don't think they'd let that happen because as much as you might say that she's one of his, I think she's very much a floating voter.
Yeah, but I think that's precisely why she sort of appeals a bit. She could cross
over. Who does she appeal to?
Well, not me.
I mean, not me either. No. I can't imagine anyone in the party that she appeals to. But I can also see Rebecca Long Bailey or one of those other Harridans, and I'm going to use that word advisedly, like Angela Rayner, because they are. I'm sorry. No,
well,
they are.
I don't know what a Harridan is, really.
A Harridan is a sort of ghastly woman of the female species. You got to double belt and braces here, right? The point is that, you know, you wouldn't describe a man as a Harridan. It would be unusual.
Right.
It's a sort of...
what would the equivalent for a man be?
I'm trying to think what it would be, because I knew you might ask me that.
Yeah.
I guess it would be something like...
A git.
A git, kind of. I mean, it's not... A Harridan isn't normally nasty, necessarily, but they're just kind of ghastly.
Right.
They're ghastly kind of characters who screech quite a lot and just generally are offensive.
Right.
And you have to admit that Angela Rayner, I mean, she's one of the people who's blocked me, one of the famous Labour Party people who's blocked me, because I once suggested that she was the thickest person that had ever appeared on Question Time, which I think is entirely correct, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, she claims that people like me criticise her, one, because she's a woman, two, because she's not very well educated, and three, because she's a northerner.
It's just number two.
It's just the fact that she's not very bright.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with where she's from
or
how she speaks or the fact she's a woman.
Yeah.
But she is kind of one of these people that preaches at you.
Yes.
And
I find that
she apparently has she has no reason to do so.
Yeah.
You know, she's not telling you anything that you need to know.
Yeah.
She has no information that can help me. She's just sort of spouting these beliefs.
Do you know the one Rebecca Long Bailey, who her voice does my head
She's the sort of acceptable face of Angela Rayner.
Her voice does my head in. But without that, I think if it was just written down, I'd find myself sort of thinking she was
borderline competent. And that's the problem. I'm not sure about any of them. I don't think any of them are particularly...
Anyway,
and also, by the way, I would say the same about the Tories.
Yeah.
You know, just not because I want to be balanced. I mean, I prefer the ideology of the Tory party, but what I do not prefer is the personalities behind it, because...
Yeah.
There are very few of them that I would want in any government that I can think of.
Where's Rees-Mogg gone, by the way?
He's disappeared as well.
Off the face of the earth.
I don't know where he's gone. I mean, he's not talking to anybody. Thornberry's disappeared. I haven't heard much from Diane Abbott, right?
No.
Haven't heard anything from Rees-Mogg. Nigel Farage finally popped up on the debate on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I thought actually he did all right.
Yeah.
Which is the first thing he's done right for a while.
Yeah. He always does all right in those things. That's why he's dangerous.
But he's not really, is he? Because, I mean, it looks now as though the Brexit Party has basically shot its bolt, unless we've all got it massively wrong.
Yeah.
Although I did see a poll from Hartlepool which showed Labour getting 40%, Brexit 23%, and Tories about 33%.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anything, that happens...
I still think anything's possible. Everyone was getting very excited by that, what do they call it, the MRP poll.
The one that had the 68-seat majority for Tories.
Which everyone was excited because that was the one that got the last one right, or least wrong.
Right.
And it sort of suggested that it was a done deal.
Right.
I don't think that's true at all. I think there's still a lot of movement to be had.
Well, what apparently is the sort of fly in the ointment is that it could be as much as, or as little rather, as a 3% swing.
Yes.
Which changes all of that.
Yeah.
And it goes from 68 to literally a hung parliament.
Yeah.
In certain places, you know. I mean, I've been getting, you can't really rely on any of the information that you get, which is anecdotal. But I've had people calling the show telling me things like, well, down here in South Wales, we can't ever bring ourselves to vote for Jeremy Corbyn, so we're going to vote for the Brexit Party. But you don't, if you're talking about people like Steve Doughty in Cardiff West or wherever he is, I mean, he's got something like 24,000 majority. Yeah. I mean, no, he's not going to lose that.
No.
You know, down in Sussex in Bexhill, near where I am, Merriman, who's the Tory, 22,000 majority.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to shift that.
Well, I mean,
you've got Corbyn
we've
here.
We've got Corbyn. And
what's he got? 25,
I think. Yeah. And,
I mean, that doesn't move, does it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be fascinating because there are a lot of people in Islington who are very Remain and very pissed off with Corbyn.
Right.
So, but are they traditional not
buying,
Labour voters.
But are they not buying the Nigel Farage line, which is that Labour are basically the party of Remain? Because that's what he said the other night.
I think
it's going to be, if they get a second referendum... which nobody wants, it's going to be Remain versus Remain.
I think there'll be a big swing to the Lib Dems here. Islington. Yeah. I think Corbyn's majority... Let's have a little prediction. I think Corbyn's majority will go down to 15,000.
Okay.
And the Lib Dems will take up all the
swing. Now, that, which is a massive swing, but still not enough to make any difference.
No, nowhere near. He's a fixture.
Yeah. And that's the point.
Yeah.
Because the system that we have says that in all of those places where it's safe... that really doesn't change. You know, you might get the Lib Dems getting a massive boost and they'll say that they've had this most incredible vote of confidence, but it hasn't resulted in them getting any changes.
No,
they haven't won a seat.
I think honestly, again, I'm going to sound really sexist here because we're picking on procession of women, but Joe Swinson, if there was a good...
Well, we've also picked on a few of the blokes.
We have, yeah. If there was a really plausible leader of the Lib Dems.
They don't have one, though.
With a sense of gravitas, which I think she lacks a sense of gravitas.
She has a terrible sense of gravitas. Yeah. She's also got a terribly inflated view of her own self.
That doesn't come across well. And it's become obvious, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, she clearly thinks that she is something else, you know? She thinks she's beautiful, she thinks she's sexy, she thinks she's wonderful, she thinks she's a visionary.
I've got no objection to her thinking she's beautiful and sexy.
She's in politics, right? So, I mean, you're looking at a pretty low bar, I'm afraid, in that sense. You are! I don't know why you keep making these exclamations
My pause and my chuckles are only when I'm trying to calculate how long it is before I get fired for taking part in this podcast.
Yeah, but isn't that the worst thing that could happen? Because people have got different ideas that, you know, you're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Swinson has been a disaster to the Lib Dems, right? And not because of anything I've said, but because of all the things that she said.
Yeah.
Because she is now worse rated by those who know about her than she is by those who don't know about her.
If the Lib Dems had a Nicola Sturgeon, I think then you could...
See, I've got a lot of time for Nicola Sturgeon, not just because I've known her from a long time ago, but I think she's a smart woman.
Oh,
I think she comes across very, very well.
Yeah.
I think she is measured.
Yeah.
I think she... I don't agree with many of her policies, and I certainly don't agree with Scottish independence, but she is a very capable leader, and she is the sort of woman that could be the Prime Minister of this country, I would say.
She is the standout leader of our time.
Yeah, right I agree. So for anyone who thinks that I'm this horrible sexist that you shouldn't be working with, you know, that's where you can point them to. Well...
I don't think you're a horrible sexist.
I know you don't think that, but if anyone says
that, I worry about how things are twisted against you.
Yeah.
I worry for you, mate.
A lot of people worry for me, you know, and I'm one of them, actually. But the trouble is that I can't make myself speak in the way that other people want me to speak. Layla Moran said that to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've told you this story. She was sitting in the tent of common sense one day, and this is a woman, let's not forget, who was arrested by the police for an incident which we don't need to go into, but basically where she beat up her partner because he didn't have the right cable for a computer, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was asking her what she had to say about the beatings going on in Barcelona, where people were getting their heads cracked in by the police.
Yeah.
And what was the EU saying about it? Because she was giving me all this guff about the EU family. And do you know what she said? She said, I wish you wouldn't use such violent words.
Right. Well, at least you didn't
get
whipped about that.
I didn't say to her at that point. Yeah, I said, well, at least it's better than getting beaten up by somebody. I didn't need to say that because everybody knows that's the story.
Yeah.
But she actually said to me, I don't want you to use those kind of words. I said, well, excuse me, people's heads are being cracked. So I'm describing their heads as being cracked. And I said, and I will not be told by you which words I use. Correct. I use words for my business, right? I've written them before. Now I speak them. Yeah. I use them very accurately and decisively. Yeah. And I'm the one that chooses what they are.
Yeah.
And the idea that you think that I should speak in a particular way so as not to be offensive to you or anybody else...
is bollocks.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And then she went, oh, yeah, but you're poisoning the debate. I'm like, well, tell that to the people with blood streaming out of their heads in Barcelona.
What absolute nonsense.
For whom the EU is doing absolutely square root fuck all.
Absolute bollocks.
Because they want Catalan independence.
Yeah.
Right? And that still hasn't been resolved.
Very difficult.
And the European Union still is not interested...
Well, I don't know if they're not interested, but they're not. They are supporting the member state, which is Spain.
Yes, but what I'm saying is they should be, surely, if they care about the European family, should be going in
there. Well, they see it as a domestic dispute, which it is.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, they don't see Brexit as a domestic dispute, though, do
they? Well, it's not. Brexit isn't a domestic dispute.
Oh, really?
How
so?
Well, because it affects the other 27.
Oh, right. So if they get Catalan independence in Catalonia, that doesn't affect the EU.
Well, if they got Catalan independence, then it becomes an international affair. But for the moment, you've got a sovereign nation, Spain. You've got a region of Spain. Uh-huh. And by the way, I am very much in favour of Catalan independence. Okay. I can work there and know loads of people. Right. If they want it, they should have it. But you've got a sovereign nation... Mm. And the EU doesn't see its job as interfering with domestic politics. But the minute,
they're locking politicians up.
Spain is, not the EU.
Spain are locking up politicians.
For treason or whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, treason.
Yeah.
You think that's something the EU shouldn't worry about?
Well, it's within the judicial boundaries of the Spanish law, isn't it? Okay. I mean, it's not like they've invented a new law.
So if we started locking up all the people who refuse to carry out the will of the people... Like Joe Swinson.
Like me.
And you.
Yeah.
And we start locking it all up. You wouldn't expect the EU to come and help you out.
Could you put me on that Butlins camp you were describing?
With the jihadi japes. Yeah. You know. I'm sure we could come up with a good name for it.
Yeah.
But no, seriously. I mean, I would expect, if you were a democratically elected politician, which these guys are, that if you can't get protection from your own government because they want to put you in jail for wanting independence,
it was sedition, you'd surely wasn't it? Expect... That was the church.
Yeah. Yeah,
but look, as I said, again, I'm in favour of...
Well, some people think James Hewitt should have been done for treason. You know, for having an affair with Princess Diana.
That's not a treasonable offence.
Well, it can be.
Can it?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, you just ask fucking King Henry VIII. I mean, it can be, you know, having sex with the...
But she wasn't the Queen.
It doesn't matter. She's the heir to the throne's wife. Yeah.
So,
you know, I mean, you could find a definition for treason there, I'm sure.
Will Carling as well?
Well, there's many people whose names you could mention.
I think you could read them off quite a lot.
I'm not going to read them all off because I know some of them. Right. But anyway, the point is this. You should surely expect, if you're part of this European family that everybody talks so much about, that you would have some protection if the state of that organisation which you are a part is behaving in a way which is entirely undemocratic.
But why is it undemocratic?
Well, so you think it's all right to lock up these guys who simply want independence for a portion apart. That's like locking up the SNP.
They've never had a validated vote for independence.
Yeah, but they have had a referendum in Catalonia, which they were not given permission
to
have.
And it was judged illegal.
Yes. But you're like, what are you talking about?
This is like passport to Pimlico.
This is like you're defending Allende in Chile. Well, he said it was against the law, so we decided just to electrocute all these guys by the bollocks. That's fine, because they're the government.
Yet again,
I thought you were supposed to be a
Democrat.
Yet
again, you've turned me into the fascist idiot.
Well, I thought you were supposed to be a Democrat.
I am.
But you're quite happy to have people locked up.
I'm conflicted on this, though, I'm in favour of independence for Catalonia.
Yeah.
But I can see the legal argument on the Spanish side as well, which is that...
You see, too even-handed is your trouble. You've got to pick a side, like you have done in the European elections.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you want to remain in the European Union, right?
Yeah.
Now, what if Boris Johnson decided that you were in some way committing an act of sedition, right? By encouraging people to actually go out on the streets and demonstrate for their rights to have the government do something completely different to what the government wanted to do and what the government had been ordered to do.
Yes.
Now, you can easily make a case that that's treasonous. And would you not then expect the European Union to come and help you?
No.
No?
I would expect the people of this nation to rise as one
to have your shot.
And to quote Voltaire, which is to say...
You're not going to quote Voltaire, because I've told you before it's not his quote.
I am going to quote Voltaire.
It's not his quote.
The other guy's quote, you can't remember who that
is. Yeah, no, I can't. I'm going to look it up.
I disagree with what you're saying, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Yeah. And,
you know, I think there's obviously room for dissent, but I'll tell you what, all right, say I said, okay, I'm going to go to Liverpool, right, which wants to remain, and we're going to declare ourselves a republic, and Liverpool's going to become independent from England, and we'll have a great port and all of this business, we'll have our tourist industry, and we'll be fine, thank you very much, and I'm sure there's plenty of people in the UK who'd be very happy with that arrangement.
There were loads.
But then I would be committing an act of sedition, wouldn't I? I'm attacking the state.
Well, no, you're encouraging people to go against the will of the state. Now, the will of the state currently is to leave the European Union. So you're already doing it.
That's the will of the people, isn't it?
No, it's not, because the government...
If it was the will of the state, we'd have done it. It's not. It's demonstrably not the will of the state.
That's why people have been treasonous, because the point is...
The MPs have been treasonous?
Yeah, they have. The MPs who have voted consistently...
Charles the bloody first.
All I'm saying is I'm pointing out the duplicity of your argument. Because if you were actually believing what you now believe about what's happening in the UK, you would be locked up in Catalonia.
But I thought you wanted parliamentary sovereignty.
I didn't want anything.
I thought this was part of the whole...
I didn't vote for Brexit. I didn't ask for anything.
But
I'm doing is representing those people whose voice has been removed from them.
Oh, the voiceless.
By the elites.
Fucking hell. Right? I wish we could find some of these voiceless. All I hear is a cacophony. Everybody's got a bloody opinion. They're like,
of course they have. Yeah. I know, and you'd like to lock some of them up and say that they shouldn't be able to vote.
I'd just like to
unless they're smart
put
enough,
some
right?
Gaffer tape over their lips.
Well, that wouldn't work on the radio.
Parliamentary sovereignty.
But parliamentary sovereignty is only parliamentary sovereignty if the people who are elected into that parliament are willing to be instructed by those who elect them.
Well, that's not
if
true.
If they're not willing to do that, then they should step aside.
Well, there's two different arguments there, and it's not strictly speaking true that's how our parliamentary
Yeah, but that's what
works.
You guys hide behind. You say, representative democracy.
Yes.
Is it? Oh, really?
Well, it becomes a little bit ridiculous when you say it in that voice.
Representative democracy. Yeah, because it's not representative, is it? You have to represent the people who elect you.
You
okay?
Do. Yes.
Now, if you're a Tory,
your best judgment.
Now, if you're a Tory in, say, for example, Bexhill, right? Mr. Merriman, who's going to be re-elected because he's got a massive majority, right?
Yeah.
Now, are you going to tell me that he also represents everyone who voted Lib Dem? And that he also represents everybody who voted Labour.
No, of course not.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. But if they come to him as a constituent and say, look, I've got a problem with my next door neighbour, you know, he's trying to pour petrol through my letterbox.
This guy.
And they go, is that bloke who used to bother to live next door to Matt Kelly? But no, here's the thing. So he then helps them with their constituency problem. But what he doesn't do is say to them, oh, by the way, I know that you wanted to remain in the European Union, so therefore I'm going to represent you in that by remaining in the European Union, even though the vast majority of people who voted for me would like to leave it. You have to make binary choices in politics, and you have to do things which the majority want. You can't represent everyone. It doesn't work like that.
Not,
and you can't hide behind representative democracy and say, but I'm just going to do what I want.
But you're misapplying the word representative.
Am I?
The point of the word representative in that scenario is that they have to, MPs have to go away and do what they think is the best thing for their constituents, regardless of what the constituents actually tell them to do.
No.
That's the point.
No.
Because that's the only difference between that and being a delegatory democracy.
No, you're telling me that they should take no notice then of those who elect
them. No, I am not. I'm saying, in fact, it's the bravest ones who take notice but then go in the face of it and say, I'm sorry, I've thought, and in my conscience, I still think this is the best thing to do.
So despite the fact that their party has stood on a particular platform, despite the fact that they have made manifesto promises to do what you tell them to do, despite the fact that you've elected them by a vast majority because you have chosen them because they, you believe, are the people who best represent you, you're then brave to do none of those things.
Correct.
Bullshit. You're not brave. You're a fucking traitor. And you have betrayed the people who have put you there.
So you are now... What happens to traitors?
They get executed.
Right, so now you want to execute. You now want to execute MPs.
No, they can
this
go
is
in
a new layer
can go
even
in
for
the,
you.
They can go in the Johanny Butlin's camp. They can have a special section. You know, Edinburgh version or something. But, you know, the point is that this nonsense about the EU family, which is how this all started, tells me that the EU interfere as much as they want, whenever they want, and then don't interfere when they don't feel like it.
Right.
And that's my suggestion to you, that they are inconsistent.
Yeah.
They interfered in Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's not even part of the European Union.
Right.
Right? They offered them all sorts of bribes to rejoin. They interfered with Greece's economy.
Yeah.
And pretended that they had the right numbers to join the EU.
But you just said yourself, you've got to make binary decisions in politics.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on there. You know, they're making choices.
No, that's different. This is an organisation we're talking about, not an individual MP. An organisation has to do what it says on the tin. The European Union is supposed to be a collection of like-minded union members, right, who are all about one thing. Whereas what they're doing... is actually reneging on the people who live in Catalonia and saying, sorry, guys, you'll have to sort that one out yourselves.
Yeah, but that
we're not going to get in the way.
But that's because... So the alternative to that, then, is to say, sorry, rest of Spain, we're going to back Catalonia.
So when...
How do you get around that?
Well, I think what they ought
to
be
make
doing,
a choice.
Well, I think what they ought to be doing is getting involved in it and saying, okay, we can't have this violence on the streets of Barcelona because it doesn't look good.
Right.
Not only for you guys, but it doesn't look good for the European Union.
Right.
We're going to have to sit down around a table, and I'm sorry, you lot who are locking up members of the Catalonian government because you don't like what they're doing, you have to stop that because that is effectively operating like North Korea, and you need to find a better solution.
Right.
You know? I just think they shouldn't be doing nothing.
But who would do that?
Surely the EU...
Send in the European army?
No, the European Union.
UN.
Surely the European Union should have enough fucking bureaucrats.
What, to tell all the protesters to go home?
No, to have enough bureaucrats to go and talk to the Spanish government to say, look, guys...
Well, I'm sure those conversations happen in
the
background. Of course they do. Of course they do.
Well, if they do, it means they're given a green light for the head cracking because the Madrid people are not frightened of them.
Well, that's different, the head cracking. I don't like that.
Would you like me not to use that language?
Don't, please. I think you've made it.
I can't find this bloody this language.
You've made it violent.
Yeah.
I'm
now
feeling wounded.
Yeah. Well, you will be wounded if you go to Catalonia and say I'm in favour of Catalonian independence.
I was there about 10 years ago when they had on the Catalonia Day, and it was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. The entire length of Catalonia, people out there with their Catalan flags, all holding hands and. You know, it was an enormous groundswell of opinion for freedom from Spain. However, the majority at that time didn't want it in Catalonia.
Right.
And so it's a little bit like Scotland.
It is a bit
people
like Scotland.
Think
yeah.
everybody wants it.
Yeah.
They don't.
There's a Catalan... But they actually do have proper million marches, unlike the Remainers, who just add up a few numbers and add some zeros on
like
the
a million today.
And put them all together really closely. Did you see that great picture of the people demonstrating against Boris Johnson when he went to launch his manifesto up at that factory?
No.
And, you know, the way it was covered on
Channel
4
News,
and they had this massive
it
swathe
like
of people.
Anfield.
Yeah, and then there's some picture taken from behind, and there was about 15 of them.
That's right.
It was hilarious.
All moving around.
But why do people do that?
I once had a leaving do at the Mirror.
Right.
I left briefly from the Mirror to go to the Sporting Life, which was that old racing paper.
I remember that.
But then we were going to turn it into a 7-day sports paper.
Well, do you know,
my popularity at the Daily Mirror, right? That my leaving do attracted. It was in Davies, and it attracted about 8 people in an enormous room I'd booked, right, with buffet for 50.
Brilliant.
Right?
Why did so few people come?
Just because they thought I was a twat.
Did they not know what was going on though? Most people would go
just
for free beer.
Because I was like...
you were quite ambitious, weren't you?
I was,
So you were seen as one of the management types.
Yes, I think I was seen as like one of the sort of toadies.
Mm.
And
which you never were, by
never,
the way.
Never in my life. But I remember Piers coming,
right,
and laughing, roaring his head off at how few people were there. And then going out into the street and corralling total strangers in, saying, can you please come to Matt Kelly's leaving do and move
That's
around
very funny. Because that was one of those failed projects, wasn't it? At the Mirror. Because I then had to pick up the slack, right?
Yeah.
Because I got hired to be editor of Project X,
as
it was rather mysteriously called, which was the Welsh Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
But they couldn't tell anyone it was the Welsh Mirror, because I'm sure part of it was one of those internal management decisions that gets made. well, fucking hell, we've got all these people working for the Sporting Life. Yeah. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So do you know what? I had to go in. There was a guy called Pat Piltner, you might remember, who was the managing editor. And we had to go into this. So we went into this ante room. He said, right, I'm going to take you into this next room where there's about 12 people.
Yeah.
Some of whom I later realised I knew.
I would probably have been there.
You might have been there.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you were, because you'd probably have gone somewhere else.
Right.
Because you'd have been too senior. These were all like subs, basically.
Right.
And I said, well, what do you want me? He said, I want you to go in there and tell them all about Project X.
Yeah.
I said, when you say tell them all about what project? I said, what can I tell them? He said, we can't tell them much. I said, well, I can't tell them what it is, no. you can't tell them when it's starting. You can't tell them what the paying conditions are. And you can't tell them where they're going to be working.
But you can definitely tell them it's a project.
Yeah, so I said, so what the fuck can I tell them? He said, well, I'm leaving that up to you. I went into this room, and all these guys, he looked as if they'd been beaten about the head for about the best part of the last 3 months. Right?
Well, it was 9 months it went on.
And one of them was a guy called Martin Booth.
Yeah, who I used to know Martin really well.
On the Express. He was a sports star on the Express, right? Yeah. So I go, oh, hi, guys, how you doing? Yeah, you know me. So, and we start talking, and I start describing, you know, what I want them to do, which is to join me in this brand new flagship project, which has got the great backing of the Mirror and is definitely in for the long haul.
Yeah.
Well, what can you tell us about it? I said, I can't tell you very much about it, right? What is it that you're looking for? I said, well, I'm looking for some subs, because we're going to be producing whatever it is from Canary Wharf. Oh, it's in Canary Wharf, then. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Right. And how many of you would be interested? And they all went, well, it depends what it is. And I'm like, well, I can't tell. I mean, it's ridiculous, kind of half an hour meeting.
Oh, my God.
And I think we ended up keeping about sort of six or seven of them.
Do you know what, mate? Honestly, I spent literally a year of my life on that project. Mm. And it was like...
And why did it fail then?
So,
did it get sold? It got sold, didn't it?
No, what happened
was... Is it not still going?
No, the story was, what happened was the Mirror Group bought the Racing Post... And that's, owned the Sporting
that's
Life.
That's right, yeah.
So they had the two racing papers. Yeah. So they, you know, they had a monopoly.
Mm.
So they decided, right, we'll take the Sporting Life and we'll stop it doing racing, but we'll make a seven-day sports paper, right, which thrive on the continent.
Yeah, like never, Corriere della Sera. Yeah,
exactly, or what's the great one in Spain? It escapes my mind. Anyway, the theory was that there's a massive market for sport, but the problem is, as you and I both know, is that the existing nationals cover sports so well that there really was no market for it. Right. Nevertheless, me and a guy called John Mulholland, who went on to be editor of The Observer and is now the Guardian US editor, brilliant, brilliant guy.
Yeah.
John was the putative editor.
Okay.
And he and I went round into...
And was this under Montgomery?
So this was under Kelvin McKenzie to start with. Right. Which is, so at that point, it had a lot of momentum. You know, it was when Kelvin McKenzie was the managing editor of the paper and of the group, and we went round to a place called Garlic and Shots in Soho, which was this creepy kind of sort of goth place that John seemed to be into, and interviewed, honestly, mate, about 100 of the best Fleet Street news sports reporters and writers and subs and all of this, and recruited about 20 or 30 amazing talents, you know, Brian Glanville, Steve Bunce, there were dozens of them. Your mate Martin Booth, who once turned on me.
Did he?
Yeah, because I call everyone mate.
Yeah,
I'm from Liverpool.
Yeah,
and so I'd call him mate.
Yeah,
and he turned on me and said, "Don't call me mate. Nobody calls me
mate."
Okay,
he did have a bit of a dark side.
Yes,
remember.
I thought so. I mean, I liked the guy a lot, but it was a moment that never left me.
Yeah,
and then we sat down and we made dummy after dummy after dummy for this thing. Then Kelvin McKenzie left the Mirror Group.
These are basically, for people who don't know, the dummy is like a pretend paper.
Like a pretend paper.
Which was never published, but you print it, the whole thing's done.
Yeah, and Kelvin left, and David Montgomery took over.
Yeah.
And I knew the project was in real trouble when John Mulholland was taken out for lunch with Monty.
Yeah.
And then came back looking pale. Right.
Right.
And he just said, oh, we're in the shit.
Right.
And I said, why? What's happened?
Right.
He said, has he sacked us all? He said, no, he's really keen. He's really keen on the sports paper thing. Right. But he did ask me the question. He said, John, tell me, why, if a football match ends 0-0, do we give it any space at all? Obviously, nothing has happened.
Excellent.
So we were, and then it went to a... Monty decided he didn't like the sports bit, but he liked the life bit. So we were going to be a... we were going to be a 7-day version of GQ, effectively.
Right, okay. Right.
So I'm looking, I've just heard this news, and I'm looking across this newsroom at some of the hairiest arsed sports reporters in the world.
Also, the idea that I'll call them the bowler hat wearing unions types are going to be dictating stuff to anyone.
I remember shouting out, does anybody know anything about what colour cravat to wear to a certain occasion? Nope.
No.
So it was, and then it shut down, and it was I mean, there's nothing good to be said about it, to be honest, except that.
So it never really came out then.
Nothing
in its new
ever
form.
Came out.
No.
And you know, I think it would have been good actually. It would have been different and fun, but it was.
But this is the thing. I mean, you and I talked about The Athletic, this new outfit, which is happening.
Have you heard anything about it?
Well, only that they poached a couple of guys from TalkSport to operate a podcast division, which is going to be launching, I think, in the new year.
Right.
Which will be very interesting, obviously, because if they make that work, that will be maybe the kind of the future. But the problem with podcasting in this country is it's very difficult, you know, as we are talking on a podcast, to make a lot of money out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's skewed by the BBC. Yeah. It's skewed by the fact that there's some big American podcasts. And what they do in America is they've got, say, for every team, like the, I don't know, New York Giants, you know, the Boston Red Sox, they have their own podcast. But that's a massive market.
Yeah.
Whereas in this country, yes, a Liverpool podcast will probably do well, but there's already the Anfield Wrap.
Yeah.
There's already quite good teams have got good podcasts. Right. So why would you get another one?
Well, I've said this from the word go, that I think The Athletic will fail for the same reason The Sporting Life failed, which is that sports journalism
not
in
big
this
enough
country
market.
Is so superb.
Well, yes, it is, but they've got some of those people to come and work for them.
Yeah, I know.
But also, the problem is, right, that it's also very much a very small country.
Yeah.
So unless you're selling it overseas and you're
won't they? Because Premier League is huge.
Yeah, but is it huge enough for you to get enough people interested in... I mean, Liverpool have got a fan club in America.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you probably count on the fingers of if you were counting thousands, you'd count on the fingers of two hands how many people would subscribe to it.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
I mean, they've made a massive misjudgment about the UK market, and if it fails, I mean, some of my mates work for it, so I don't want to see it fail particularly. But
well,
if
you never
want
to see any journalist against a price
but
fail.
The silver lining will be that it'll be a smack in the face for the guy who founded it, who said basically, we're going to come in and we're going to put local newspapers out of business.
Yeah.
We'll bleed them dry.
Yeah, that's nice.
And well, you won't, mate. You might find that you've got a tougher time than you think on.
Well, you
on
can
doing
always do the old, since we were talking about Voltaire.
Yes.
We'll end on an old Chinese proverb, which I always like, which is that if you stand by the side of a river for long enough, you'll see the bodies of all your enemies floating by.
That's right, I love that.
We are the Thought Police. We'll be back.
If there was a really plausible leader of the Lib Dems.
They don't have one, though.
With a sense of gravitas, which I think she lacks a sense of gravitas.
She has a terrible sense of gravitas. Yeah. She's also got a terribly inflated view of her own self,
which doesn't
come across well.
And it's become obvious, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, she clearly thinks that she is something else, you know? She thinks she's beautiful, she thinks she's sexy, she thinks she's wonderful, she thinks she's a visionary.
I've got no objection to her thinking she's beautiful and sexy.
Well, she's in politics, right? So, I mean, you're looking at a pretty low bar, I'm afraid, in that sense. You are! I don't know why you keep making these exclamations.
My pause and my chuckles are only when I'm trying to calculate how long it is before I get fired for taking part in this podcast.
Yeah, but isn't that the worst thing that could happen? Because people have got different ideas that, you know, you're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Swinson is a disaster, has been a disaster to Lib Dems, right? And not because of anything I've said, but because of all the things that she said.
I still think this is the
best
thing to do.
So despite the fact that their party has stood on a particular platform, despite the fact that they have made manifesto promises to do what you tell them to do, despite the fact that you've elected them by a vast majority because you have chosen them because you believe are the people who best represent you, you're then brave to do none of those things.
Correct.
Bullshit. You're not brave, you're a fucking traitor. And you have betrayed the people who have put you there.
So you are now... What happens to traitors?
They get executed.
Right, so now you want to execute... You now want to execute MPs.
No, they can
this
go
is
in
a
the,
new
they can go
for
in
you.
The... So what are you talking
this
about?
This is like passport to Pimlico.
This is like you're defending Allende in Chile. Well, he said it was against the law, so we decided just to electrocute all these guys by the bollocks. That's fine, because they're the government.
Yet again,
I thought you were supposed to be a Democrat.
Yet again, you've turned me into the fascist idiot.